Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, March 10th, 7:30 Central Time, and it is time for our regular Monday guest. Good morning, Pastor Scheer.
Good morning, Andy. How are we doing?
Oh, doing all right. How are things going at Brothers of John the Steadfast?
Things are going well.
Good, going good. Well. Have you adjusted to the time all right, the time change?
Not at all. Neither have my children, so there we have it.
Neither have our clocks around here either.
Well, good thing you're keeping track of that.
Trying to. Well, what's going on with Brothers of John the Steadfast?
The first thing I've got is actually a little plea, and that is for any one of your listeners that that want to. There was a family, a Lutheran family, an LCMS family of eight, that just lost their home at the end of February due to a fire. And this is the Wolf family. Aaron Wolf is a writer for Chronicles magazine and so forth. Very good Lutheran layman. And they lost their house in a fire. And so I've got a little story there with it, but just kind of a quick link off to Lutheran Church Charities in Illinois. That if you are listening to this and you have some extra money that you'd like to go to help somebody, be a good cause to go help. So... you'll find all that there. It's an article entitled "Lent, Let Charity Prevail, Give to Help a Family of Eight Who Lost Everything in a Fire." So just let your listeners go with that. And since we are in Lent, mm-hmm. I'm going to go to another article written by Pastor Joe Abrahamson, who is a pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Synod up in far northern Minnesota. And he writes about Luther's Small Catechism and Lent. That... in his parish especially, but I think in many parishes, Lent serves as a time to go back into the small catechism more. And it's his parish's practice every Lent to spend each week of Lent focusing upon a certain part of the small catechism and all of those things that are a part of that. Then he also spends a couple other Sundays a year, different specific Sundays where he'll spend time on daily prayer and table of duties, which is really interesting that in each year he covers this with his congregation. And of course, the small catechism for Lutherans is extremely important and extremely special in our devotional life. And he's got some really good suggestions for that. In particular, I really like his way of how the parts of the catechism work together.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how the first section, that is the first three chief parts, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer is the what of the Christian faith. That is, these are the things we believe. This is the stuff that we hold on to in that way. The second section he has, of course, is baptism, confession, and the Lord's Prayer. That's the how and where of the Christian faith. That is, how does faith happen, and where does faith happen? Where do you get this? Where are the means of grace? What are they involved with? And the really nice part about his article is he focuses on a third section, which I think is often neglected in confirmation classes, in just general talk about the small catechism. That is, he says the third section focuses on the application of the Christian faith. And there he includes the daily prayers.
Mm-hmm.
There he includes a table of duties. And there he also includes Christian questions and their answers. Those quote-unquote 20 questions that you can be very useful in preparing for the Lord's Supper and so forth. I really like the idea of these three sections being put together. You got the what, the raw data of the Ten Commandments, Creed, and Lord's Prayer, the
mm-hmm.
how is it that this faith is there? Well, it's there through baptism, through hearing the absolution, through receiving the Lord's body and blood, eating and drinking and so forth, but then also the What does this have to do with my life, And there's your daily prayers, that we're daily in prayer, and you have the table of duties. How am I to love God and love my neighbor? And then of course you find your place in life according to those table of duties, and there you have some good instruction from Scripture on how to conduct yourself. And then you have the Christian questions and their answers. How do I prepare myself for getting back to the house again?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great thing, a good reminder. Possibly, since we're already into Lent, it might just be a good reminder that maybe next year when some pastors get down to Lent planning, I know I plan on doing this, to plan Lent around going through the catechism. And so I think I've kind of put a reminder for myself to go and do this, because it just seems like a very good way to get those basics of Lutheran teaching, of Lutheran practice, and of Lutheran piety, the basics back out there in the people, and to have an emphasis upon that. So,
and it's never too late to continue reviewing the catechism, studying the catechism.
Never.
And we had an episode on Faith and Family, a program on Faith and Family. We talked about using the small catechism as the handbook for family prayer and praying the catechism daily, the Ten Commandments, the Creed and the Lord's Prayer, and praying Ex Corde and a hymn together as a family. And it was a nice encouragement. That's a good practice to take up during Lent or any time of the year, really.
Very good practice. The orders of prayer around the daily prayers are very brief and extremely useful in that way. That it's not some great time-consuming thing, but it is something that is so deep, because you're using things like the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Commandments, that they can be very useful, very, very useful. The Small Catechism is just that way. It is a small little book, but it is very, very deep, and that's kind of a wonderful thing for us as Christians to have something like that.
Absolutely.
So I know I asked my confirmation kids last night. I said, I held up my Bible. I said, well, we can learn it all by just trying to go through all of this. And they all kind of looked at me with large eyes. And then I said, well, or we can do, because I was trying to explain what the catechism was, and, or we can study some of this, and held up the catechism. And they were much more open to the idea of the catechism then.
Speaking of the catechism, how's Concord Matters coming along?
Concord Matters is coming along just well. I did not have a chance to listen in on Saturday, so I'm going to wait till Tuesday afternoon to listen in this week to find out where they're at. So I think they are in the Fourth Commandment, if my memory serves me right. But the program is going along really well. I know I've got my guests coming up on March 22nd. I'm going to have the two hosts of Table Talk Radio, that is Brian Wolfmuller and Evan Gagline, to be a part of my show. I kind of like to have guys who know each other be guests, because, of course, they play off in one another so well, and have that already, that kind of working relationship over a mic. So should be interesting. But, yeah, Tuesday afternoon I plan on listening in to find out where they got to this week. So very good stuff as far as that goes. Anytime we consider on the Book of Concord, go through it, it can't hurt, that's for sure. So, it can't hurt. The last article I want to focus on today is by Pastor Matt Richard. And it's kind of a controversial topic, but it's entitled, Just Relax, A Little Liquid Drano Won't Hurt Anyone. And of course, we would look at that title and go, well, actually, a little liquid Drano would hurt someone. But he talks about how he uses the liquid Drano from a professor who explained how he's making cookies in front of his class, and just on a real quick note, he just, in front of them, held up the bottle of Drano, quickly, dipped a little bit of Drano in there with the batter, and then put it away. Didn't draw attention to it or anything like that. And then he was surprised, of course, that nobody wanted to eat any cookies. So the idea of doctrine and the idea of error, that, as I put it to my people sometimes, the devil doesn't always show up with horns and a pitchfork. That sometimes he shows up and manifests himself as an angel of light, as the scriptures say. That the subtlety of error is sometimes the most dangerous thing. And so we need to be on guard. I mean, yesterday's lessons from scripture, the temptation of Jesus. The second temptation where the devil quotes scripture to Jesus, if you weren't nitpicky about what scripture actually said, you don't catch that. You don't catch that he skips a portion of scripture, to guard you in all of your ways. And this is why we need to be on guard, why we need to be learning the catechism over and over again, why good things like Concord Matters are important. Because the subtlety of error is probably one of the most dangerous things out there, and how quickly it can creep in. And of course, as God's own people, we still carry around the sinful nature. And the sinful nature is like a constant subversive thing that always wants to get into the mess, and always wants to get into the error, and always wants to get us to not believe in Jesus. And so We have this enemy within that is trying to always work against us as well. So, but it's a great article about the subtlety of error and how dangerous that can be.
I particularly like the quote, the question and answer, what is worse than Pelagianism?
What is worse than Pelagianism? The answer?
Semi-Pelagian.
Yes, right. So it's not just, you know, the outright, hey, works are going to save you. It's, well, you know, Jesus did some, and you need to just do a little bit more. Which one's worse? Which one's more tempting? And that's the danger. And that's always the danger of the subtlety. In fact, I think you just had a lesson from it, or a reading from it, about the serpent and the fall into sin. And some translations actually use the word, the serpent was more subtle than any other creature that the Lord God had made in the garden. I think ESV uses the word crafty. But there's a subtlety to it. And that's the most dangerous stuff, is the subtle stuff that sneaks in under the radar. So it's really easy to spot the horns and the pitchfork sometimes, but it's the subtle stuff that gets you in trouble.
Very much so. Very much so. Well, Pastor Scheer, with just about a minute left, anything else on Brothers of John the Steadfast we should check out this week?
Well, rather than end on something like that, let me end with a good, great quote from one of the fathers in the faith, a man named Agius Hunius. And he's responding to something, and he has this great quote. He says, "But we respond from the start that we steadfastly teach that Christ, by the decree, counsel, ordination, good pleasure, and command of the Eternal Father, has freed each and every mortal, without any exception at any time or in any place, from sin, death, and eternal damnation." That a great confession of what Christ has done. And this is the freedom that he brings. This is the freedom from sin, the freedom from death, the freedom from damnation that Christ has won. And that is the objectivity of things out there, the objective justification, that Christ has done this for all. And it's subjectively part of people's lives through faith in him.
Amen.
And so that is definitely an amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Well, always good to talk with you, Pastor Scheer, and our listeners can check out those articles and more at steadfastlutherans.org.
Lord's blessings, Andy.
Blessings to you as well. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. I hope, listeners, you can stick around for that. More of his time in just a little bit, right after this break.